I was not the kindest of children. I enjoyed playing tricks on my parents as much as I could, my brother. And one particular day, we were coming home from church in the evening. And when I was a kid, we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And then whenever else we could go to church, we went to church. And so one particular evening, we were back. And we lived on a place that did not have electricity from the city. And so we had our own generator. And so whenever we would come home from an evening, the first order of business was to wait in front of the house before we unlocked the house and go start the generator. And then when the lights came on, we would go in. We had a stoop, a screened-in stoop, porch, we call it. And then the porch went to the front door of our house. And so you would unlock the screen door of the porch, and then you would unlock the house. We would go into the screen door area before the generator was on. And then we would wait for the lights to come on to unlock the door to go into the house. And so I decided to get in there first as quickly as possible, got into the screen porch. And I sat down on a lawn chair in the corner of the porch and just lounged and waiting for the generator to come on. My dad was out starting the generator. And my mom came in after me, did not see me coming to the porch, and had her hand on the front door of the house and looked over and saw this dark figure in the corner and started asking who it was. And I said nothing. Hello? Nothing. Hello? Who are you? Speak to me. Nothing. I sat quietly, and a smile started coming across my face, knowing, I got her. I got her. And right before the lights came on, she went into complete total fear and collapsed, hanging onto the door for dear life. The lights came on, and there she saw me, and she was so mad. So mad. And of course, I was thrilled. It was a good moment of my life, unforgettable moment. I graciously, as her child, gave her more stress, not realizing that she had all kinds of other stress in her life. Increased her anxiety, doing my part as a child. I got up, ran in, said, sorry, Mom, and walked in the house. And she hung on that door for probably the next 10 minutes, just trying to recuperate, you know, from the incredible stress. We all have stress givers in our life, right? Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your work. But we allow stress to come into our life, and we have this anxiety that most of us have experienced some form of anxiety or stress in our life, whether self-inflicted or inflicted by someone else. Anxiety is not a new concept in our world. It's not just something that you've experienced in this world, your particular generation. It is something that has been part of the human condition since the beginning, since the very, very beginning. The Bible speaks about this problem. It's an issue that is from Genesis all the way to Revelation, but this issue of anxiety and how Jesus came to alleviate this stress and anxiety in our life. He came to give us peace. We see this through the prophets. They talk about this idea of, Micah spoke about that hammers would be beat into swords, would be beat into plowshares, and that spears would be turned into pruning forks, pruning hooks. Amos spoke about it. Zechariah spoke about it. Hosea spoke about it. Jeremiah spoke about it. Ezekiel spoke about it. Isaiah spoke about it. This is what Isaiah wrote, a song to God, and this is what he says, Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect, a song to God. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Isaiah called him Jesus, the Prince of Peace, prophesied that he was coming, the Prince of Peace. John, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, spoke about this. And his father, the father of John, prophesied over John that he would be the forerunner of Christ, and he would guide people into the path of peace. This is in Luke 1, verse 79. It's not on the screen, but this is the message of Scripture, is alleviating our anxieties. It is Christ. Christ only, as we trust in him, takes away our stress. John 14, the words of Christ himself as he was about to go to the cross. having spent time with his disciples, what did he say? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Isaiah worked with four kings in the southern kingdom, tried to help them look to God for all of their stress and trust in him, rely on him, follow him instead of following anyone else. This morning, I just want to briefly give you a quick story of two of the kings that Isaiah worked with. The first one was King Ahaz. We read about him in Isaiah chapter 7, but also in the book of 2 Kings, we read about King Ahaz. In this particular scenario, we see that King Ahaz is being threatened by the northern kingdom, who has made an alliance with Syria. So Israel and Syria have aligned, and they're coming to attack the southern kingdom that King Ahaz was king of. And the Bible tells us that when he got word that he was about to be invaded, he was so afraid. The Bible tells us that he shook like a tree in the wind. Isaiah 7 tells us he was absolutely afraid. Isaiah tells him, do not fear. Stand firm in the faith. But King Ahaz chose a different path. He decided to align with the Assyrians and made an alignment with the Assyrians and basically pledged, gave them money, support, so that they would come and fight their battle for them. And so sure enough, yes, the Assyrians were successful in defeating Israel and Syria, but this opened up then this door of continual, constant payment and allegiance to the Assyrian country. King Ahaz went so far as to deny his faith in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and actually brought in the practices of worshiping idols into the temple that was originally designated strictly for Yahweh. Ahaz's story is a sobering reminder that when we choose over control, over trust in Christ and trust in God, we have incredible, horrible consequences that we pay for. And not just Ahaz, but also the people that he led. We're led into a life of allegiance to the Assyrian gods instead of Yahweh himself. His decision left Judah paying tribute to Assyria long after he was gone. And also his allegiance sent a message to Assyria that Yahweh is weak, that the God of Israel, the God that eventually came to us to save us in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he was weak and not able. Isaiah still speaks in those times, even though King Ahaz turned away from Yahweh. Isaiah speaks. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 9. We see he prophesies of the coming of the Messiah of Jesus Christ. He says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. This is the message to a King Ahaz who had turned his face away from Yahweh, to say, no, keep serving God. Keep serving true God. Keep serving Yahweh, because he is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We need to ask ourselves this morning, when it comes to our anxieties and our stresses, what else do we need? And who else do we need? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What else? Who else do we need? Surely our God is enough. And the answer to all that stresses us, all that scares us, we can reach to him. Isaiah says, remember, trust in God, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. The son of Ahaz, King Hezekiah, decides, no, I've seen what my dad did. I'm not going to follow that path. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings 18, and it's not on the screen for you, but you can look for it yourself. 2 Kings 18, 1 through following says that Hezekiah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. Just as his ancestor David had done, he removed the pagan shrines, smashed the sacred pillars, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke up the bronze serpent that Moses had made because the people of Israel were making sacrifices to the serpent. They're worshiping the serpent instead of God. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. And he stopped paying tribute to Assyria. He cut off the constant supply of taxes and tribute that his father had been paying Assyria, broke ties. This went well. This went well for King Hezekiah. The Bible tells us that he was successful in all that he did because he trusted God. But in the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign, the Assyrians decided to attack his kingdom anyway. He'd had a long, successful career of paying no tribute money to the Assyrians, and now after all these years, his success was challenged. After all these years of faithfulness, all of a sudden now, his faithfulness is being challenged. The king of Assyria marches to Jerusalem to put him in check, to start collecting tribute. We don't know why then, but it made Hezekiah flinch. And King Hezekiah paid the king of Assyria 11 tons of silver. I can't even imagine that much silver. 11 tons of silver and 1 ton of gold. They stripped the temple of all in their storerooms of the temple. They stripped the gold off the door of the temple so that they could give them this money. After paying the king of Assyria said, "Well, I'm still coming. Thank you, but I'm still going to come in. I'm still going to come in." And he sent a letter. He sent a letter to King Hezekiah, and this is the beginning of the letter, 2 Kings 19, verse 10. This message is for King Hezekiah of Judah. "Don't let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you with promises that Jerusalem will not be captured by the king of Assyria. Don't let the God that you trust fool you, deceive you with a promise that somehow you're going to be protected from your enemies." King Assyria is a cocky son of a gun, right? "I'm not just going to challenge you, King Hezekiah. I'm going to also challenge your God." King Assyria goes on in his letter to say, you know all the people I've defeated. He lists all the people that he's defeated. He goes on to say that none of their gods were able to keep me from entering and conquering. He goes on to say, which is not true, he said, "As a matter of fact, your God actually supports me that I come in." So God speaks to Hezekiah one more time through Isaiah. Isaiah 26. Isaiah writes a song. This is what he says. "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord." How often? Always. "For the Lord God is the eternal rock. He humbles the proud and brings down the arrogant city. He brings it down to the dust. The poor and oppressed trample it underfoot, and the needy walk all over it." Verse 12, "Lord, you will grant us peace. All we have accomplished is really from you. O Lord, our God, others have ruled us, but you alone are the one we worship." And then he cries out. He again speaks to what's coming, that Christ, the resurrection, is coming. He says, "But those who die in the Lord will live. Their bodies will rise again. Those who sleep in the earth will rise up and sing for joy. For your life-giving light will fall like dew on your people in the place of the dead." Isaiah says, trust in God, there's hope. God breaks down these enemies, these great egotistical, pompous leaders. He breaks them down. We just need to trust him. We need to trust him. And he will make us rise again. We will live eternally in God, in Christ. This is the promise that Isaiah says to Hezekiah. So Hezekiah stands firm. I'll come back to Hezekiah in just a minute to show you what he did. But I want us to jump to Christ. I want us to jump to the disciples sitting with Jesus, Last week, we talked about Jesus washing the disciples' feet, John 13. Jesus is preparing his disciples, preparing for his departure, preparing for the fact that he's going to die on a cross. He's preparing them. So he says, serve each other, love each other. The disciples would have read the prophecies of Isaiah in Sunday school, right? That would have been part of their reading, compulsory reading. This is what Isaiah says, read the prophet. They have followed Jesus, watching the miracles, experiencing the miracles, and now Jesus is telling them he is going away to be killed. He's cleaned their feet. He's about to leave them. He had also announced that someone would betray him. There's all this tension that ironically is being created in that moment as he's cleaning their feet. Peter says, I'm ready to die for you. And Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. It's in that context Jesus understands that their hearts are troubled, because he's telling them some crazy stuff, right? He's telling them what's coming, and it's not the kind of news they wanted to hear. Stressful news. And so in John 14, verse 1 and following, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, why would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? This wasn't true. When everything is ready, I'll come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And then in verse 4, he says, and you know the way to where I am going. But they still were lost, right? Verse 5 of John 14, Tom says, no, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I think we're often like Thomas, right? There's a way. God says, there's a way. There's a way forward. In this stressful situation, there's a plan. And we say, I don't see it. I have no clue what you're talking about, God. Maybe you've had this dialogue with God when you're in a stressful situation. God is saying, be at peace. You're going, why? Why should I be at peace? The ever elusive peace. And sometimes we know all this is true, but we continue to spiral. So Jesus says to you, make a choice. Make a choice. Make a choice. Peace is a choice I make. I choose him. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Do not let, and then trust. We choose. Peace is a choice I make to trust in my Savior, the one Christ who is all sufficient. I am not sufficient, but I'm trusting in him. You know, we have reason to be anxious because we are limited in our capacity. We struggle to control scenarios. We struggle to get things right. We've been in situations over and over again where we were not enough. And so Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me, not you, in Christ. Peace is a choice I make to trust in my Savior, the one who is all sufficient, the one who is all powerful, all loving, perfectly just, perfectly honest. He alone can give me this peace I need so much. And he will advise, he will lead me, he will comfort me, and he will give me the inexplainable, never understood by our human nature, he will give me a peace that passes all understanding. We don't get it. And if you've ever been in that situation before where you've cried out to God and you all of a sudden are covered in this blanket of peace, but nothing has changed. Your situation hasn't changed at all, but you are at peace. Then you know this is the gift of God. So we choose Christ. We choose not to let our hearts be troubled. We trust in him. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in him. Don't let. Trust in. And so I have to make that choice. I will not spiral. I will trust in God. And I will trust that he has my present and he has my future in his hands. I will trust him. Nothing that has happened to me has caught God by surprise. God is in control. And God asks you just to trust him. Trust him. Jesus is telling disciples not to let their hearts be troubled, even though they had reason, right, to be troubled. But Christ says, here, trust me. Trust me. And this trust is based on truth. You know, we've all trusted in a salesman who's selling us something that truly is not true, right? We've all trusted that guy or that lady, anyway, whoever it is that's selling you something. We've trusted that person and we've been let down. Jesus, on the other hand, is the one who speaks truth. It shouldn't be missed on us that Jesus Christ promised us hard times. He didn't say, it's going to be great. I don't know. Now you know he's telling the truth because he said it's going to be hard. John 14, verse 2, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Jesus is saying here, would I lie to you? Absolutely not. I wouldn't tell you there's a place for you if it wasn't true. I'm preparing a place for you. If this wasn't true, I wouldn't have said it. Jesus Christ speaks truth. We can trust Christ. Everything he said, he was clear. He said in John 16, it's not up there. He says, John 16, he says, you in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We see it in Matthew 24, verse 9 and following. It's not up there either. When you'll be arrested, you'll be persecuted, you'll be killed, you'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Jesus is not playing around. He's not lying. He's saying, this is the reality of our lives. We can hold tightly to that every word that comes out of the mouth of our God is true. And so I can trust him. I can trust him. I can trust him. So trust in him. Peace. I can have peace because of the sufficiency of God. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. Peace in the reality of our final destination, right? Peace because God does not lie. Peace in the promise of being in the presence of God always. That's our future. Peace because he is what? The way, the truth, and the life. And so I can hang on that. I can trust that because it's true. It's not a joke. It's not a kid sitting in the corner scaring the heck out of us. It is Christ speaking truth. And then we trust in him, place our faith in Jesus Christ, and what happens? He gives us the gift of peace, something we can't drum up on our own. We can't imagine this ourselves. It's something that Christ gives us, this beautiful gift of peace, peace that passes all man's understanding. And he says, obey me, follow me. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, peace. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. And later in John 14, he says, John 14, verse 27, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, peace in my understanding and peace in my soul. We understand this, right? And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Because I'm giving you something that you can't get in this world, don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you, I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. We choose the peace giver, to trust in the peace giver. And then Jesus gives us peace. This is the promise of God. This is the promise of God. Hezekiah, I told you I would go back. Hezekiah, he's being threatened by Assyria, right? Syria is challenging not just him, but he's challenging his God. Don't trust in that God. He's not going to save you. He sent me. He's given a letter of challenge. This is a written letter handed to Hezekiah to say, I'm challenging you and your God. This is what Hezekiah does. 2 Kings verse 19, verse 14. Sorry, 2 Kings 19, verse 14. After Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, he went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. What a beautiful picture, right? Taking this challenge, this threat, he just lays it out before God. And Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. O Lord God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Bend down, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to Sennacherib's words of defiance against the living God. Look at what he's saying about you, God. Verse 17, it is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed all these nations. And they have thrown the gods of these nations into the fire and burned them. But of course, the Assyrians could destroy them. They were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord, our God, rescue us from its power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone, O Lord, are God. What a prayer, right? What an amazing prayer. Lord, show him what I know is that you are the God of all kingdoms. Show him who I serve. Show him who I trust. Isaiah is given a word from God to Hezekiah. It's a word of, yes, trusting God. I've heard you. We see in Isaiah verse 26, chapter 26, verse 35 and following. This is what happens in answer to King Hezekiah's prayer. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Hezekiah didn't lift a finger. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Amen. The king Sennacherib of Assyria broke camp and returned to his own land. He went home to his capital of Nineveh and stayed there. And then, as if it's a footnote, verse 37 says, one day while he was worshiping in the temple of his god, Nesroch, his sons, Adramelech and Sharezer, I'm sure that's the exact pronunciation, killed him. with their swords. Then they escaped to the land of Ararat, and another son became the king of Assyria. This is like a footnote. This pompous king threatening Hezekiah's God is done. Done. Over. Can we not also lay before God all of the attacks against the character of our God, all of the insults to the God that we serve? Can we not lay that before God and pray like Hezekiah did? Yes, we can. The God that Hezekiah served is still the one that you and I serve. And he's just as powerful, just as alive, just as eternal as he was then. And we can take whatever it is that's troubling us and we can lay it before the Lord and say, God, defend your name. Defend your character. Because you see, often the way we live, because we don't trust in God, we send a message to the world that we actually don't trust our God. We have weakened the perception of who God is because of the way we live. And our neighbors and those who see us look at our lives and they say, I wonder what God they serve. Oh, their God must not be that wonderful. Look at how he lives. That's a total mess of anxiety. They must trust in no one. Oh, Lord, may my life be an illustration of faith in the God that is over every kingdom. May my faith be in the one who is in the all-sufficient God, the one who is has complete capacity. The one who can save my soul. May I live a life that is a testimony to that. Yes, we can lay before God whatever challenge. Whatever challenge to us, whatever challenge to God's character, we can lay it before Him. And God will hear our prayers. Trust in God. Philippians 4, Paul wrote this after being in and out of prison. He said this, Philippians 4, verse 4, don't worry about what? Anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience what? God's peace. God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The truth is that God will not always take away your challenges. That's a fact. He promised that. In this world, you will have what? Trouble. But the truth is also that God can give you a miraculous peace in regardless of your circumstances. You can be the cool cat in the midst of a storm. You can have peace when everyone is losing it. You can be the peace. You can be the peace giver. And you can be the testimony to the one who gives us peace that passes all man's understanding. People, our God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's a wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace. God bookends our life. He's from the beginning. He's got the other side covered, and He's got everything in between covered. He jumps in the trouble with us and gives us peace. Peace, the gift of God. My job? Trust. Just got to trust Him. I got to walk closely with Him. Got to love Him. He gives us His Spirit. I just need to place faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You, God, for Your grace. Thank You, God, that You give us peace in the midst of the storm. And Lord, You promised us that this world would be difficult. But Lord, You said, in the midst of that chaos, I give You peace. And so I thank You for that this morning. Lord, I praise You for New Song Family Church. I know that every one of us in this room have dealt with some level of anxiety and stress. Lord, but I also know that You are the peace giver for every person here this morning. Lord, You are the peace giver for everyone who's listening online. You are the Prince of Peace. So Lord, we praise You for that this morning. Lord, we choose to trust You. Completely. It's in Your name I pray. Amen.